Hello and welcome to another edition of FIDE's podcast. My name is Jerry Serino and I'm your host, and I'm here with talent on loan from Rush. The American Life League is a phenomenal organization that is supporting our most precious right, and that is the right to life. My guest today is Hugh Brown, and Hugh Brown is the president of American Life League, and he's here to talk to us about his organization, what they do, and his thoughts on some of the issues that are going on in the life world today. So, Hugh, thanks so much for coming on.
Of course, yeah. Thank you so much for having me. Really appreciate the
opportunity. Yes, my pleasure, and it's really great. So I want to, you know, start off with, you know, giving us a background into the American Life League. You know, what is it all about? When was it started? I mean, there's a great history on it. You could go to ALL.org, right, for American Life League, ALL.org, a great site. But tell us, tell my listeners what it's all about.
Yeah, my mother, Judy Brown, was involved in the pro-life movement at the very beginning. In 1973, when the Supreme Court created Roe versus Wade, she was working for National Right to Life. And in the late 1970s, she was actually offered to be the president of National Right to Life, but her conscience was conflicted. And it was conflicted because she's Catholic, with the organization is Catholic, and we very much adhere to the tenets of the Catholic faith, which is that life, you know, is life sacred and precious without exception and without compromise. That's the issue. So she graciously turned down that offer and started the American Life League. And our focus from 1978 or 79 until today, through today, is that every life is sacred, that life, you know, matters from the moment of our creation through our natural death. And my parents both firmly believed, especially my father with the advent of ultrasound, that abortion would be a thing of the past by the late 1980s. And he would often say, my, how wrong he was, because the culture of death has done nothing but expand into, you know, perverting gender now, perverting thinking, perverting everything, assisted suicide, killing the infirmed. I mean, the culture of death knows no bounds. So we battle that every day. We battle for the truth.
So, you know, curious as to what you had mentioned your mother, you are Catholic. This is a Catholic league. I am as well. And I know that the Catholic Church has basically held the line on the issue of abortion, contraception, and a lot of things that maybe some other pro-life groups may, the pro-life, at least Catholic side of it, has taken a stance on gay marriage and things like that. What was it that your mother felt uncomfortable with the pro-life groups at the time?
So that's a great question. So the heart of it comes down to two things. The first was what is the reason of abortion, right? Abortion, the root of abortion is the contraceptive mindset, right? That sex is just a thing to be enjoyed by whomever, whenever. And that's not at all what sex is. And that's a conversation that no one wants to have. So the contraceptive mindset was one of the primary motivators to have her create the American Life League. And that the root of all abortion, or most abortion, is contraception, right? People say failed contraception, or my gosh, I'm pregnant, I didn't mean to, or I don't want this child. And then secondly, and just equally as important, are exceptions, right? And exceptions at the time were the anvil that they want to beat us over the head with, which is rape, incest, and life of the mother, which now has, you know, devolved into heartbeats and 15 weeks and viability and this, that, the other. At the moment of our creation, you are a human being made in the image and likeness of Almighty God, period. And that's worth fighting for. And that's what motivated her. And that's why I'm here. I mean, my father got sick in 2018. I've been in fundraising and other ventures my entire life. But she's my hero. So I stepped in to help her here and really have found a voice and a passion inspired by her. I mean, she's the single most courageous human being I know. I'm also a high school football coach, and I coach some very, very tough human beings. She's tougher than all of them. I mean, she is a tough, tough person, but she does so with grace, with gentleness, and with sincerity and honesty. And that's why people love her, because she's standing firm in the truth. It's not hard, right? It's not complicated, but it takes the one thing that's lacking on the face of the planet, which is courage, right? She's got moral courage, and unashamedly so. And if there's a little bit more of that, you and I probably wouldn't be talking.
Yeah. And so to the point of your mother and, you know, the organization is a family sort of tradition. There's a great article in Celebrate Life magazine that tells that story. So people can go to clmagazine.org and hopefully you can check that out very often, but certainly for the article here on Hugh. Okay, so tell me about what is going on today. You had mentioned about, and I'm in a complete agreement, and that is that the life issue is not just about abortion, although I think that's the most egregious and the biggest issue. It has morphed into transgenders, and there's multiple genders, and men could get pregnant, and what do they call people who can get pregnant people, or whatever words they're using. We're getting into the drag queen shows to kindergartners, kids taking hormone blockers, but they don't have to tell their parents. Is this the full out assault on life that we're seeing? Is this where this, as you said, the contraceptive mindset has taken us, is to disregard life? Or you explain it, because I'm not.
No, I think you just articulated it perfectly well. Amen. I mean, that is exactly what it is. And it's a conversation most people don't want to have. I mean, even in the Catholic Church, right? Think of all the masses you've been to. How many sermons or homilies or conversations have there been on contraception? You know, we all remember them, because you and I, if we knew each other better, we'd probably say, hey, remember that time that, Father John gave that great homily? Because it's always just a handful of priests that are willing to speak on it, at least that we know of, right? I think one of the great deceptions in what you described is that the Catholic Church, it doesn't respond to these things enough. I think that there are outstanding priests, bishops, and cardinals out there. You and I just don't hear about them. And we don't hear about them because the world's not going to talk about them. But whether it's Bishop Strickland, or here locally, we have a Bishop Burbage in Arlington. There are some outstanding men. Cardinal Pell just passed. Cardinal Burke wrote something beautiful about him, a nice short tribute on Twitter that I read. There are very courageous men, and those are the things we have to talk about, because exactly what you described has happened. The culture of death is now reaching in, trying to, if not kill your children, pervert them, right? Because the ultimate goal is to steal their souls, right? You and I, if we're parents, as fathers, our singular responsibility as spouses, to our wives and our children, is to make sure that we populate heaven. That's it, right? But everything else is focused on me. It's focused on materialism. It's focused today on selfishness. And please don't hurt my feelings. I mean, if Christ were here, he would rebuke all of that as insanity. So that's our job. He put you and I here in this time and place. So I appreciate what you do. Appreciate the opportunity to talk about it, because it's not something people want to talk about. You bring up contraception and people run. And you asked about things we're involved in. I mean, look what the federal government has just done this week, right? I mean, they've authorized under emergency usage contraceptions and abortifacients where your daughter can now walk into a Walgreens, right, and get pills to kill her kid. You're never going to know about it, right? They're not even going to ask her age, but she can't buy chewing tobacco, right? She can't go buy Mucinex D. Think about the insanity of that. But she can buy pills that terminate a pregnancy. It's clearly evil intent, and that we've got to push back. I mean, if not us, who? I say that almost every day. If not us.
Yeah, really great point. So this is my show is not specifically a Catholic show. I am Catholic.
Sure.
It happens to be that you are, Hugh. I have people of all sorts of different denominations, and I have friends who are Christian in other Christian denominations, and they are equally as frustrated at the notion that their pastors do not take a stand on all sorts of issues as well. And we see that a lot. And so it's not unique to the Catholic Church, but it does upset me that I feel like so many of these issues, even an obvious one like abortion, they're afraid to talk about. And these issues, whether it's transgender or whatever, have become political. And I feel like they hide behind the whole notion of, well, we don't get into politics. Am I correct? And are they, should they, all pastors, all, you know, denominations, should they speak out against every one of these issues that you mentioned?
Amen. And absolutely. And let me give you a real life example. So I'm a football coach of a Catholic high school football team. I got a lot of big, bad, tough men on that team. No, I don't know the number. 95% of them are not Catholic. We talk about these things every day. If you play for me, we'll talk a little bit about football. Everything else you and I are discussing, we'll talk about, because I view it as part of my vocation to help educate young men to be responsible men. Because if young men aren't sleeping around, abortion doesn't exist, period. But specific to your question, so we have those conversations. So specific to your question, I say all the time, like within young men, one of the rarest commodities is mental toughness. Hard to find. It's hard to find mentally tough people. What you and I are discussing, I think it's even harder to find morally courageous people, because we don't want to offend people. We don't want to talk about things that make you uncomfortable. I mean, Christ made people extremely uncomfortable. And in my life's experience, some of the best Christians on the face of the planet that I've met are not Catholic. These are very devout people. These are people that work and do things humbly. They're never going to wave a banner about what they're doing, but they fight in the defense of life. They fight in the defense of the family. Because everything you just asked me in terms of people standing up to defend the truth is centered around attacks on the family. And I think the great deception in our lifetime is exactly what you mentioned. These issues are political. That's what the devil's done. I mean, within the Catholic faith and within the Christian faith, I've heard people say, well, he's a conservative Christian, or this denomination is a liberal denomination. There is absolutely no such thing. That's a deception and a lie. There's faithful and then there's not, right? And to be faithful requires us to sacrifice ourselves, meaning there's a lot of things. Maybe we say, well, yeah, I disagree with that because it's good for me, or I like doing it. Doesn't mean that it's right. That's where we have to surrender ourselves to Christ, whether we're Baptist, Anglican, Catholic, Christian. Serve the Lord, right? Do the things that the Lord has asked us to do, which is walk that narrow, difficult path, not the wide one that's so often traveled. That's the challenge. And if more pastors and priests would do that, ministers, deacons, people of God, we're hungry for that. People will listen. You're not finding it because people are afraid to talk about it. So the people are very hungry to hear these things, because we know the truth is written on my heart, your heart, at the moment of our creation. You accept it or you reject it. It's our choice. It's free will. Best gift of all. But we know it when we hear it. And if it makes us angry, it makes us want to storm out of the room. Well, that tells us something about where we are and maybe how we need to get right with God.
So I want to maybe get into an area that I don't know if you want to get into or not, and you're welcome to not. I don't know. But question, can you be a pro-abortion or pro-choice Christian or Catholic?
Oh man, you're speaking my language. Let's go. So I wrote something today. I wrote an article today specifically on that subject, because I read this morning, maybe it was last night, read a headline that, again, we're talking about Christians, but specific to the Catholic faith, that 64 Catholic members of Congress had voted against the Born Alive Act. Well, what does the Born Alive Act mean? It means that a woman has an abortion, the baby's laying there alive, right? But dying and needs medical assistance. And we're voting to deny that because that is somehow a violence. It's a violence to have this living proof of a human being that survived abortion. You cannot serve two masters. I mean, you openly can, but you are a liar, you're a deceiver, and you're a wolf in sheep's clothing. And you and I might disagree on taxes. We can disagree on immigration. We can argue that maybe the earth warms up because of the sun. There's all types of things that we can disagree on that are not matters of life and death. Abortion is without question, without question. Some sins are greater than others, the Bible says, and that's exactly what the scripture is talking about. You cannot support the slaughter of children and then say, I am a good, faithful. No, you're not. You've been deceived, and you've got to make things right with God, because that. Look, we're not supposed to be judgmental, but it's hard. You have to have these conversations. You can't support the slaughter of children and expect that you're going to stand before Almighty God and not be judged to damnation. That's just a hard truth in reality, because your tacit support, your votes, It is direct participation. Abortion's legal because you're sitting there doing nothing and you're voting for it, or you're just rolling your eyes saying, "Why, this guy's too, I don't like this guy's mannerisms because he's pro-life. This other guy's more gentle, but he's pro-abortion." You're lying to yourself. That matters more than anything else because you're murdering human beings. You're murdering babies. You don't hear that in any argument. People say it's a choice. No, you're murdering babies. It's that simple.
So I'm going to push a little bit more, and I'm curious as to know. I know how I feel. You had mentioned a couple things like taxes and you know, whatever, immigration. What if anything is warming the climate or the planet and whatnot? I truly believe that in every one of those issues, the left, the Democrat Party in this country is extremely wrong. Many people have good intentions. I don't doubt that. They maybe don't fully grasp or understand the issue that any of the issues that I just mentioned. And fair enough, they have good intentions. But I think that the powers that be, the Bidens, the Pelosis, and people like that, they actually do have bad intentions. Amen. My opinion is, to take what I asked you a few minutes ago, when I asked you, is there such thing as a pro-abortion Christian or Catholic? I'm to the point of saying, is there such thing as a Democrat Christian?
So the article, what I wrote today, the title of it is "The Death of the Catholic Democrat," right? So go ahead and put in the word Christian. There is no such thing. I'm sorry, there's just not. The guy from Georgia, Warnock, right? He's in the church that Martin Luther King was in, and he's up there advocating for abortion on demand from the moment of creation to a few hours after you're born. That is evil. You know, if you and I were playing Jeopardy, that'd be things the devil might say. It is absolute insanity. There's no truth to it, right? And from gender to everything else, they're just wrong. We could talk about climate too. Their agenda is selfish and self-interested. It goes all the way back to the 90s. If people just want to do their homework, all centered around this thing called carbon credits, where they would all make a bloody fortune. It's all self-interest. It's nonsense, right? They don't care about the planet flying around in their private jets, and they don't care about immigration. What they care about is self. And the shame of it is that 50% of the country just sleepwalks. They sleepwalk and they vote Democrat because my grandmother did. I mean, you're an idiot. You need to wake up and read and study. And if you want to claim Christ in any denomination, you can't support evil. While conservatives may not be perfect, we don't support evil, right? At least we're willing to have conversations when we disagree on matters. But those matters usually don't center around life and death, right? They center around things like, I don't know, a tax increase or whatever, something to do with manufacturing. It doesn't have to do with matters of faith and morals. The Democrats lost that island a long time ago. And I read there was actually one Catholic Democrat that voted for the Born Again Act, the babies born alive. I'd like to find out who it is. Yeah, I'd like to write him a letter, because, I mean, that's the type of human being we need to stand up against those people, because they ain't going to listen to us.
No, well, I'm really glad you take that stand, because I know a lot of people are afraid to say that. Oh, you can't say that there's no such thing as a pro-abortion Christian. You can't say those things, but I'm to the point of, I don't want to have to say those things. I don't want to have to say that you cannot be Christian, Catholic, or devoutly Jewish. I had a great, great gentleman, Elliot Resnick. He's a Jewish individual, and he said the same thing. You can't be a devout Jew and be a Democrat, essentially, or be a leftist. You can't. I mean, I wish it were 100 years ago or 70 years ago, where the differences were on trade or taxes or whatever, things like that, different philosophies, you know, pro-union, you know, not as strong as you are. We are now at a point where every aspect of the Democrat Party, their beliefs are to the point of evil. Like you said, even the case of climate change, it's a joke. It's a scam. And even immigration, which I think the Catholic Church, the hierarchy, isn't as strong as they need to be on the issue of immigration, illegal immigration, I should say, because there's a lot of bad that's going on at the border and the like. But so I swear I did not know that you wrote this article. I'm not kidding. I did not know that. And it's...
That's because we haven't published it yet. Okay. I sent it out this morning. Okay. And somebody made it. Well, and I don't know if you write, but when I write, I don't mind if someone proofs it. but please don't change what I write. And they changed the one sentence out of 300 or whatever it was that I thought was like, bam. And so I read it and I asked hours ago. So it hasn't been published yet, but it's the death of the Catholic, the devil's bidding is what I called it. The death of the Catholic Democrat, which happened long ago, right? It happened long ago. And you should basically say the death of the Christian Democrat. You don't exist. And if you do, you need to abandon that ideology, because the Democratic Party is a demonic ideology. It's, think about it, right? They've had in the Washington State Assembly, in the State House, they've had demonic prayers, whatever that means. I mean, it's just, you're inviting evil. It's not to be played with. You know, that's a line you should not cross, inviting that nonsense into your life, because it's nothing but disruption. The next thing you know, your kids are questioning their gender. All types of chaos ensues. The devil works in chaos, and it doesn't mean those people are beyond redemption, but they've got to wake up and be honest with themselves. Like you said, this isn't 70 years ago where the differences were something we could probably talk about. They have embraced a demonic ideology and worshiped that instead of their Christian, Catholic, Jewish, Muslim, whatever their faith is. They just, the two are antithetical. They absolutely do not fit in the same universe, and that's the truth. If that makes somebody angry, they got to take a hard look at it, because you're dead wrong.
100%. Couldn't agree more. So where can people find this article? So we're recording this on January 13th.
Okay, great.
So I'll probably release this a week from today. So it may be already out by then. Where can people find it?
Yes. So go to ALL.org, ALL.org. There'll be a link on there, and it'll probably say, the title will probably be condensed because of space, to the death of the Catholic Democrat, but it speaks specifically to what we need to do, right? I speak to people all the time that support our work or want to support our work or have supported our work and are not supporting our work. And the reason they're not supporting our work is they've just given up, right? In any fundraising venture, especially on the conservative Catholic Christian side, the supporters tend to be 55 plus, and 55 is a young supporter. They're usually 75, 85. I talked to a woman last year that was 96 years old, right? And the reason people are not supporting it, not that they don't believe, they just, they've lost hope, right? You turn on the news and they think, my gosh, America's going to collapse and fade and no one cares. That's a deception. America ain't going anywhere, right? This best thing going for America is the American patriot, and it's not going anywhere. And they've pushed us as hard as they possibly can. And because we're Christian people, right, the response has been what it is. But this country's worth fighting for, and this country is worth defending. And at the root of it is killing children. How can you have 50 years of slaughtering children in the womb and think those people are not capable of supporting anything? Would they fix an election? Are you kidding me? What do they care, right? Would they lie about things? Would they cheat and steal? Of course, if you're going to murder children, what will you not do? You're going to cry and quote scripture to me about killing children? I mean, are you kidding me? And then sell their body parts and lie about that? I mean, it's ghoulish. So don't put anything past them. Scripture says you can't trust somebody in small things. This is a massive thing. You can't trust them in anything. And we've just got to keep pushing back, and God willing, just get good people like we have right now in the House that are courageous.
Yeah, 100%. Couldn't agree more. Love hearing you talk. I can talk to you for a long time. But thankfully people can go to ALL.org, and people here in the Cleveland area, but also all over the country, could listen to you, Hugh. You will be one of the speakers at the Bringing America Back to Life, sponsored by the Cleveland Right to Life. I am on the committee, volunteer committee for that. And you are speaking along with a number of other excellent speakers. It is March 10th and 11th here in the greater Cleveland area. So if you're liking what you're hearing from Hugh, you could not only connect with him on the website and continue to read his articles, but if you're able to, you could go to the Bring America Back to Life. Go to bringingamericabacktolife.org. And if you're at a distance, we're going to live stream the whole thing. So you'll be able to listen to as many or as few speakers, one of which will be Hugh Brown. You could listen on the live stream as well. So I'm really excited. I get to, rarely I get to meet my guests because everybody is remote, but I'm going to have the opportunity to meet you, Hugh, in a couple months here. So Hugh Brown from the American Life League, spot on in everything you're saying. You're welcome back on this show anytime, because we apparently don't disagree on anything. And that's my favorite guest. But Hugh, yeah,
me too.
But Hugh, thanks so much for coming on.
You'd like this real quick. I did an interview yesterday, and the first question the lady asked me is, what pronouns do you use? And I thought, come on now. First time I've ever been asked that question. And I laughed. I said, really? I said, I'm a dude.
Yeah.
How's that go?
Okay, come on. That's not a good way to start an interview for you.
No, or for me. Not. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Holy cow.
Boy. Speak of the devil. Here, I'm looking to the right for those watching. That's where my monitor is. And your face just popped up. I'm on the Bring America Back to Life.org website. That's where you came up. So really excited to meet you in person and hear you speak, and hopefully others are as well. And connecting to Hugh Brown from the American Life League. Hugh, thanks so much for what you do and for being here.
Jerry, thank you.
Yes, sir. And you as well. And thank all of you for listening to this episode of FIDE's podcast. Please check out all my podcasts on all the different podcast apps, on YouTube, on Rumble, and on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on RightAmericaMedia.com. So thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.
I know.